The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Hallelujah. Thank you, God, Lord, that you are our strength, that you're our hope, you're the one that we look to. And Lord, sometimes we forget about that, but help us, Lord, this morning once again to focus on the fact that you are God, that we are your children, and yet you watching over us, and that there is nothing to fear, nothing to fear from the enemy or from the world or from people, but God, you are with us. You're with us. Thank you, Lord, and you're an all-powerful and all-loving God. You care for your children. So, Lord, bless us this morning. Bless this word, Lord, this morning. Help us, Lord, to hear from you and just touch us today in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of things before I get started on the message this morning. This is a message. I was working on something sort of different yesterday, and I worked on it some more this morning, and after a little while, I just went, you know, I'm not sure. You know, I'm not hearing God. And I remembered this phrase, don't fear the future. And I thought, oh, you know what? I must have preached a message like that at one time. And so this is actually those same notes from 2 years ago about that time. Anyways, don't fear the future. And it's interesting because 2 years ago, let's see, kind of end of March, about that time, remember what was going on in 2020 in March, the beginning of March? All of a sudden, everything was getting shut down, and everybody was freaking out, and everybody was fearful, and we're all going to die kind of stuff, you know. And that's all we heard day after day after day. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. There's going to be millions of people who die. And unfortunately, there were a lot of people who did pass away as a result of that sickness. And yet, I remember, you know, maybe preaching this message at that time had really to do with addressing the fear situation. Because I even for myself and for the pastors that I meet with monthly, you know, there was the question of what are we going to do? You know, they tell us we got to shut down our churches and we can't meet together and we can't sing and listen to the word of God. And should we obey God? Should we obey the authorities? Is there some in between? And really came down to we got to fear God and not fear all the other stuff. And so maybe I don't know what my motivation then was in that message, but I know what my motivation this morning is. Don't fear the future. You know, there's stuff going on in our world. You know, 2 years ago, the big COVID thing. You know, here we are today going, I wonder if World War III is about to start. I wonder what's going to happen. You know, and I'll tell you what, maybe 2 years from now there will be another terrible thing that we'll all be fearing and worrying about. But you know what? 2 years ago and today and 2 years from now, God is still on the throne. Amen? He is the one that we need to look to, and he's the one who's going to take care of us. Listen, if God allows us to die of something, a sickness or a bomb or whatever, for believers, that's not that bad. I know that sounds a little crazy, but you know what? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What's wrong with that? And I guess I was even praying that just recently. Lord, you know, life is tiring sometimes, and it's difficult dealing with all these things and dealing with stuff sometimes around the church. You know, boiler inspectors and fixing a plumbing thing and working on a bulletin and dealing with people who do or don't show up and other kinds of stuff. And I'm just going, but God is in this. God is in control. And I don't need to worry about what the future is because God's already there. You know, for myself personally, I guess I'll just veer off in that direction for just a little bit. You know, I'm getting a little older. Physically, most of the stuff's working okay yet. I can see fairly well. Sometimes I need the reading glasses. I don't hear as good as I used to. I climb ladders a little slower than I used to. I try to avoid that if I can, but And I'm not really looking forward to working on cars. I got a bunch of things on cars that I have to work on right now. I'm just going, well, Lord, it's difficult, but one of these days, like say about 1,000 years from now, I'll be going, not bad. This heaven stuff is pretty good. I like this. And I remember that time way back then when I was on planet Earth and my car was breaking down and I was freaking out. But, you know, in light of all that's gone on in the last 1,000 years, not really that big a deal. Think about it. Everything that we go through in life, all of these things, I mean, they seem so gigantic. As I've said before, and we've heard before, sometimes we have a problem. And the more time that we have to think about it, the bigger the problem gets. It actually doesn't get bigger, but in our mind, in our, you know, our thinking about it, oh, it's bad, it's bad. Oh, I thought it was bad, but no, it's really bad. It's not. God is still on the throne. You know, if we could really turn that around and say, you know, it's bad, but God is big. It's getting bad, but God is awesome. And, you know, it's not easy sometimes, but God is on the throne. And He cares for me, and He loves me. And He's watching out for me, and He's meeting my needs. He's taking care of everything. Amen? If we could just get in that mindset more often, too often we get sidetracked. The enemy puts something in front of us and says, you know what? You should really be afraid of this. And I think what we should do sometimes is say, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. Take your fear and go home. Go away. God has got this. The Lord is my light. You know, that's what we got to say. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? You know, I think about the future of this church. You know, over the years now, we've kind of seen it getting smaller and smaller, and sometimes it's a little scary small in here. But God, you know what I mean. But if God is on the throne and God's in control and God wants to keep the doors open to this place, He's well able. And my fretting and fearing and manipulating and doing whatever I need to do to to keep it going, well, that is so insignificant compared to what God can do in an instant, in a day's time. You know, every once in a while, God reminds me, you know, we're having a tough time, we're having a difficult spot, you know, either financially or otherwise with the church, and then some kind of miraculous breakthrough comes that we weren't exactly praying for, we didn't expect to come, and we just go, God must still want us to keep going. And that's true in all of our lives, not just the life of the church. In all of our, you're still here. You're here this morning. You're alive and well. You're breathing. Your heart is beating. More than likely, it seems like it anyways. Well, that just means that God's not done with you yet. There's still work to be done. There's still some things to have happen. You know, I mean, it'd be great for us just to all go up to heaven today. Wouldn't it be? If we could all go together as a family, that'd be kind of cool. You know, I'm now announcing the Life Restoration Group from planet Earth, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you know, arriving in heaven. I was thinking about that, this morning or last night as I was praying. I'm thinking of the years that we've been in ministry and the different people that have come through. And a number of, I'm thinking of, you know, Tim Bodwin and Dennis Musashi and even my buddy Bert Krohn, you know, a number of them who've passed away just recently, our brother Thomas, you know, and I'm sure I'm forgetting some, but there have been a number of them who haven't gone on to other places or other cities. They've gone on to heaven. And I'm thinking, well, if God keeps us here just for the onesies and twosies here and there and gets them connected with God and gets them going to heaven, I guess we're filling a need. We're doing what we ought to do. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, I'm totally not on my notes, but maybe that's planned that way. Okay, life under the balcony. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, we're surrounded. I think it starts out with, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and it says, let's live life, let's live for God. It doesn't say that exactly, but since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, there are those who have gone on before us. There is a cloud of witnesses, the saints, because in Hebrews chapter 11, Paul just got done talking about all those that conquered by faith. They did all of these great things, these great exploits, and some of them, they ended up being tortured, they ended up being killed for their faith, but they were considered successful in God's eyes. And then Paul goes on in chapter 12, he says, therefore, since all of those people before us, all of the great ones of the faith, have conquered and accomplished great things, what about us? But since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, they're watching. And I've said this before, there's this, at least in my mind, there's this balcony in heaven where those who've gone on to their reward are kind of looking over. They don't have a lot of input as to what we do, but they're watching. And I think sometimes they're cheering and saying, keep going. And sometimes they're going, oh, don't go down that road. Don't go down that fear road. Go down the faith road. Trust God. These saints have gone on before us, but this is the life that we live. This is life in the world. Life on planet Earth is, in the world you'll have tribulation. But I like how the verse ends, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Jesus tells us the truth. Yeah, it's not always going to be easy. You're going to have difficult spots. Difficult times. James tells us, count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet with various trials. Count it all joy. Yeah. Well, James, you probably aren't aware of the problem that I'm having. Well, James is, and James was. Amen. He says, count it all joy. When you have difficult spots, because the testing of your faith, it's good for you. It helps you. It strengthens you. Amen. I believe it's in 1st or 2nd Peter, it's talking about, the devil is like a roaring lion seeking those who he may devour. The devil's roaming around looking to destroy people's lives, to ruin them, to hurt them, to harm them, to sidetrack them, to take their eyes off of God. But Peter says there, but stand firm in your faith. Trust God. I know I'm not quoting it exactly. I don't have the whole thing printed out here in my notes, but in Psalm 91, you'll not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. You'll only look and with your eyes and see the reward, the recompense of the wicked. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It'll not come near you. These are God's promises to us. And one of the things that about God's promises is they are activated by faith. You want to benefit from the promise of God, then you need to believe what he says. You hear what I'm saying? You can read a verse that says, he'll give his angels charge over me sometimes, maybe, not always. Well, maybe only certain people he gives his angels charge. What about he gives his angels charge over me? What about actually believing that? What about saying, well, and too often the devil steps in and says, but you know what? You messed up. You did this wrong and you did that wrong. And so you don't really deserve the protection of God or the blessing of God. It is in those times that we need to say, devil, my sins have been forgiven. My debt has been paid on a cross by a Savior 2,000 years ago. His name is Jesus. And as far as between me and God, there's nothing. There's nothing between us. Amen. We need to believe God and believe His promises and say, yeah, Jesus, I don't necessarily deserve the blessing of these promises in my life. I haven't earned them, and yet I receive them. It's okay to receive the blessing and the promise of God. It's okay to say, yes, Lord, I receive it. I know I don't deserve it. You know, to come humbly before God and saying, well, Lord, I haven't always lived the way that I ought to. I haven't always said the things that I should. I haven't always been super Christian. But God, I know that Your blessing is on me and Your protection is here with me. You've got me. You're covering me. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. You know, if there were ever a thing to praise God for, it would be exactly that. I don't deserve what He's given me. And yet, He keeps pouring out blessing after blessing. And when the trouble comes, He gives me strength. When a need arises, He brings provision. How does He do that? Why does He do that? I guess why is probably the better question. Why does He do that? It must be because He loves us. It's got to be. What else would explain God's provision and blessing, the way He blesses us, and how little we deserve what He gives us? Amen? I mean, do we deserve the Son of God coming down, leaving His glory in heaven? Do we deserve what He did for us on the cross? Of course not. But He offers it to us. He offers it freely. He says, you can receive this, you can accept this, you can have the salvation that I'm offering. You can have heaven. You can have eternal life. Amen. It's to be received by faith. Yes, Lord, I believe what You did for me. You meant to give it to me, and You meant for me to take it. Thank You, Jesus. Going back to life under the balcony, you'll be persecuted and hated. You know, we talked about some of that last week. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow Me. Yeah, that's part of this life. That's part of, you know, heaven is not like that, but earth is. Earth is going to be a battle. A lot of times as believers, we're in the middle of fights, and a lot of it, it's not just people-to-people fights. It's people, the devil wrestling against us and trying to get our eyes off of God. Amen. Matthew 24, I guess I'll just read this. This is maybe some of this that I read last week. And they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for My name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Boy, that sounds pretty bleak, doesn't it? But he who endures to the end shall be saved. That's the encouragement. You know, I know it doesn't sound encouraging. The reality is we're going to have a life that's filled with all sorts of troubles and trials. There will be great times of triumph and victory and blessing and great joy. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. The world around us, by the way, is not going our way, not going our direction. And they're usually trying to drag us in their direction. Amen. You know, to the unbelieving world out there, this Jesus thing is kind of a weird myth, fairy tale thing that they don't believe. And they wonder, why are we so naive and so goofy that we would believe that God sent His Son to die on a cross for us? I choose to be goofy. I choose to believe. Hallelujah. And I'm going to receive the blessing from that. I'm going to receive eternal life. I'm already walking in it. I'm already living in it. But someday it's going to come into full view. Amen. So don't be too surprised when the world is not going your way, when they're trying to talk you out of it, when they're trying to show you that it's just all a bunch of silly myths and old stuff. And, you know, sometimes other Christians, real or fake, will become your enemies. That's a sad truth. I wish that weren't the case. There have been times in the past where, you know, I have been betrayed by someone that I thought was really going my way, going the same way, love Jesus. And those are hard times when you feel like you've been betrayed, when you have been betrayed. The lessons that we can learn even in those times is that we can learn to love. We can learn, you know, when people do things to us that they shouldn't have done, when people rip us off and hurt us and harm us, and we go to God and say, God, how would I deal with this? And He says, just love them, pray for them. Yeah, it helps us and it helps them too. Maybe one of these days they'll come to the realization that God really does love them. Amen. But to endure is what we need to do. Psalm 27, I'm going to go back to Psalm 27. In verse 13 and 14, I would have lost heart. Yeah, with all of this stuff going on, I would have lost heart. Except for one thing. Except for this one thing. Unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Right here, right now, on planet Earth. You know what? I would have lost heart, but I knew that God was going to come through. I knew He was going to take care of it. I knew He was going to show Himself faithful. Thank God. Thank God. And I'm seeing it here and now. I'm not just waiting for heaven. I'm not just waiting for, okay, God, it's going to be tribulation and trial and persecution and all sorts of trouble, and then I die and go to heaven and everything's good. You know, there's a lot of good here too. God pours out blessing after blessing. Amen. And that's one of the reasons the title of my message, Don't Fear the Future. You know what? No matter what the devil tells us, what might happen, what could happen, what you should be worried about, what you should be thinking about is God's got a good future planned for us. Amen. He's got plans to bless us. He's got plans for good. He's got plans to use us. Amen. Verse 14, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. I like that. Wait on the Lord. So we wait on the Lord, and what does He do? He says, oh, I see you're trusting me. I see you're waiting on me. I'm going to strengthen your heart. You know what? If God will strengthen your heart, that's a whole lot better than you strengthening it yourself. You know, a whole bunch of willpower. I'm going to be strong. How about God puts faith in us, in our hearts, and causes us to trust Him. Amen. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on God. Luke 12, I'm not going to read that whole passage there, but Luke 12, you know, is the passage where Jesus is talking about, don't worry about your life, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. You know, look at the lilies of the field, how God clothes them. Look at the, you know, the different things. Look at all of the stuff that God does. You know, He takes care of the birds of the air. You know, they're not fretting, they're not freaking out, they're not worried like, oh no, what are we going to do? Are we going to die of starvation? The birds don't seem to be worried about it. And Jesus says in that passage, you know, if God takes care of the birds, don't you think you're more valuable than they are to Him? We are. We are more valuable to God, amen, than all of these things. It's not that that birds of the air and the grass of the field and all those things aren't important to Him, but we are His ultimate focus of attention, I guess I would call it. God loves people more than anything else. You know, when God put us together, when God knit us together in our mother's womb, and He saw the future He had for us, He looked at it as good and purposeful. Amen. Actually, the conclusion of that passage there in Luke, verse 29, and do not seek what you should eat, what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. You know, it's kind of like The disciples, when they were in the boat, I'm not sure if that, I might actually have that passage in here. The disciples, when they were in the boat, like, oh no, Jesus, we're going to die, we're going to drown. Don't you care? Well, it says your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. You know what? It's where our focus is that really brings about the provision and the blessing of God. They that wait upon the Lord. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? It's kind of like, yeah, God, you help everybody else out, but not me. You answer everybody else's prayers, but not mine. You know, that's kind of what Isaiah is talking about here. But it's not true. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I mean, these are some wonderful promises that we just need to just hang on to. And when the devil comes and tells us something else, like, where's God? You know, he's not taking care of you this time. You just say, you know what? I'm just waiting on God. He's coming through. He's faithful. He always comes through. For his children, he always comes through. Amen. Don't say God has forgotten you or can't see what you're going through. The one who is speaking is God. He's eternal. He's the creator. He's the maker of all things. He's all powerful. And this passage here says that he doesn't get tired. He gives strength to the weak. I'll tell you what. I will qualify that statement. He gives strength to the weak. He gives strength to those who will admit that they're weak. He'll give strength to those who will humble themselves and say, God, I can't do this. God, I haven't got what it takes to get through this, but you do. Help me, God. And he will surely come through. He gives strength to the weak. Amen. Waiting and trusting is what will cause us to endure. You know, that passage about, you know, he who endures to the end is waiting and trusting God. That's what will do it. That's what will, that's how we'll endure. Oh, here's the passage in Mark from, that I mentioned before about Jesus in the boat. You know, the disciples are freaking out. They're afraid. And, you know, I guess you could look at it and say, well, they're fishermen. They're out on the water all the time. They know when it's dangerous and when it's not. And to them, it's looking like we're going to die. And they go to Jesus and wake him up. Now, I'm not sure how he could have been sleeping. He must have been pretty tired. As I was reading, I've been reading through the Gospels, and when I'm reading the first couple chapters of Mark, Jesus is healing all sorts of people. He's doing all sorts of things. He's touching people, and it's day and night. And the more people he healed, the more people he touched, the more people that came to him. And I'm guessing by the time he got in that boat and they started heading out over to the other side of the lake, he was tired. And I know what that's like sometimes when I've had a long day, a hard day, a physical day, and I fall asleep. You know, fire engines outside my bedroom window couldn't wake me up. Actually, I did have that happen one time. I think there was a fire next door a long time ago. I don't know if it was at our house. Maybe that when I was younger, but they said, didn't you hear the sirens? I mean, didn't you see the lights coming through the window? No, I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay. Where was I? Jesus is sleeping. Jesus is sleeping. He's resting. And the disciples come to him and, Jesus, don't you care? We're going to die. And I'm not really even sure, because at this point, they were kind of not sure who Jesus was and what, you know, they knew he was special and he did miracles and healed the sick, but I'm not sure what they were expecting him to do. But Jesus gets up, stands up, and speaks to the waves and the wind and says, "Peace, be still." And all of a sudden, it's calm, it's still. And the disciples, now they're not freaking out about, oh, we're going to die. They're going, who is this that's in the boat with us? Only God can do this. The wind and the waves, they obey him? Wow. Yeah. That's the same Jesus that we worship, that we follow, that we love, that we praise, that we worship. You know, that's the same Jesus. He's God. He's the one who can forgive sin. He's the one who can heal. He's the one who can set free. He's the one who can bring the breakthrough. He's the one who can provide for every need that we've got. This is not just ordinary man's provision. This isn't just some social program. This is God himself taking care of us. Amen. Luke 12, verse 32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Don't fear. Jesus is saying, don't fear. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Romans 8. I think I'm going to start to wrap it up here with Romans 8, starting at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. We are more than conquerors in all these things through him who loved us. Amen. For I am persuaded. This is the Apostle Paul saying, I'm persuaded. You know what? I guess I'm going to join with him and say, I too am persuaded. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. That's a pretty complete list, isn't it? Height, nor depth, principalities or powers, tribulation, persecution, all that stuff, even death, can't separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, and I'm going to finish up with this one point. You can take the sermon notes home and read the one that I'm skipping right there. But our Heavenly Father's desire is good for his children. He wants good for us. He wants blessing for us. Not blessing so that we can, well, I guess so that we can enjoy it too. But blessing for the purpose of being effective witnesses, having a testimony, having people in the world look at us, even though they look at us as weirdos sometimes, as a little bit odd, you know, but for them to look at us and say, I don't know, they're kind of weird, but God seems to be taking care of them. God seems to be watching out for them. God seems to be bailing them out every time they do something, either to get themselves in trouble or have something come against them. God is there for them. Amen. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. Maybe this is what I can conclude with this morning. Take his yoke. It's easy. It's light. If you're carrying more than you can carry, if you're carrying more than you can handle, then it's possible that you've taken his portion of the weight too. He wants to take it with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to, you know, it's not that we don't have something to do in this life, but we are not responsible for carrying the whole thing, for making it all happen, for making everything work out. Our responsibility is trust God, do our part, and let Him move, and let Him work, let Him do His part. Amen? I think that's probably the balancing act for the Christian, is how much should I do? Should I do nothing and let God do everything? Well, I'm not sure that that's right. Should I do everything and just let God sit back and say, gee, I wish they could ask me for some help. I'd be willing to help them. How about we walk with Him? You know, that picture of a yoke where, like say there were two oxen or something pulling a cart, and there's a yoke where both of them are pulling, and in this case, whatever we go through in life, it is God with us. Amen. And I will say this, we're carrying about 1% of the load, and He's carrying about 99% of the load. But do your 1%. Whatever God has given you to do, do it. Do it with all your strength, with all your heart, and let Him take care of what you can't do, which is all the rest. Amen? You know what? We don't have to fear the future. We don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks, couple of months, the next couple of years. We don't know what's going to happen with the nations and world wars and with diseases and crime and all the other kinds of stuff. But listen, God has got us. We don't need to fear. You know, I know that times of transition are here for some of us. You know, things that are changing, things that are different than they used to be. Let God go with you into those things. Let Him carry you. It'll be all right. Amen. Don't fear the future. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Amen.